I think we're going to try and get started. Welcome to the session. My name is Ian Lucas. I'm a principal program manager at Microsoft. I work over in Redmond. A couple of people have asked me, what exactly does a program manager do? Who doesn't know? I include myself sometimes in that group. If you went to Microsoft, you looked at any of the product teams, or any of the teams developing the software which you're seeing, all the technologies, basically, there's three sort of disciplines that make up most of those teams. There's a development team, there's a test team, which is separate, and then there's a program management team. And the role of the program manager is to sort of say, hey, these are the features which I think we need to go build. This is what they look like. This is why they're important. This is how they align to business value. So we go through that sort of definition process and say, this is what we're going to go build. And then we work with the dev and test teams to put together a plan to go build that. And then the best part of the job, I think, is at the end of that, we get to come to things like Tech Ed, and we get to say, hey, this is what we built. How do we do? Did we do good? Did we stuff it up? Should we change? And for me, this is very much a feedback opportunity for me to hear from you what we've done right, where we've missed the ball, how we can fix things in the future, and how we can focus our investments going forward. So that's what a program manager does. I've been over in Redmond now for 9 years. I'm originally an Australian, if you can tell from the accent. Grew up in Brisbane, lived on the coast for about 12 years before moving over to Microsoft over in Redmond. I work for the Windows Server Manageability team. My team is responsible for the new Server Manager, which you can see in Windows Server 2012. But I also work very closely with the teams who build PowerShell, the teams that do all of the WMI work that we've done in Windows 2012, also GP, WSUS, some of those technologies, and of course the work we've done in Server around the different SKUs and the different configuration options in Server. So that's where I come from. And this session is really going to be about, how do I get the best out of Windows Server 2012 when I go deploy it? What are some of the options there? What are some of the technologies I can use? And what are the things that we've changed in the way that Server Core works and full server work? What does that look like now, and how can I make most advantage of that? So I'm going to spend a lot of time talking through some of those technologies, what we've done, why we've done it, and I'm going to show you some demos on how to do some stuff with some of those deployment things. So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about just your deployment choices. Really, the bulk of the content here is going to be talking a little bit about what's new in WDS. Okay, so if you're using WDS, I'll be able to point you at the sorts of things you want to go have a look at if you think about upgrading your WDS environment. Going to spend a bunch of time looking at Server Core and Server with a GUI. Server with a GUI is what we used to call full server. We're going to look at those. We're going to look at a new configuration option called Minimal Server Interface. I'm going to talk about that a little bit, show you what it is, show you how you can use it. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about a new feature called Features on Demand. This is about really trying to minimize the disk space of your server deployment, okay, and how you can do that. So we'll talk about that, and I'll show you that. And then just wrap up with a little bit around some of the feature and role deployment options that we've added into Server Manager, and then how all of that, together with all those other things, can come together. And hopefully what you'll leave with is a sense of, wow, if I'm going to deploy Windows Server, when you're going to deploy Windows Server 2012, these are the sorts of things which I might want to build into my planning. So hopefully that makes sense. So let's get right into it. I'm pressing the wrong button. There we go. Okay. So the simplest way to install Windows Server 2012, of course, is to use the setup utility. I'm going to call this a high-touch deployment option because basically you have to sit there and click through a bunch of wizards and make some choices and so forth. But this is a really important way to deploy Windows Server 2012. It's sort of like the common denominator way, so that there's a single unified process which all customers can rely on to be there to be able to deploy Windows Server. Essentially, we haven't changed anything here. Okay, so it's essentially the same as the 2008 R2 setup. This is actually really important because we know that you guys have a bunch of processes which you build around how you deploy Windows Server. Maybe some scripting and stuff like that. We wanted to leave that process basically the same so that all of those investments are retained. So there's not a lot new to see here, so I'm not going to spend much time. There have been some speed improvements, okay? So when you're going to try this, you'll probably notice that it's a little bit faster. Hopefully that's a good thing. Can't see why you'd think that would be a bad thing. And you know, if you pay really close attention, you might see some changes in some of the terminology and the words, just to try and make some of the explanations clearer. Same two options are still there, upgrading or the custom install, and they work pretty much the same way as they did before. Okay, none more there. Second way to install is what I'm going to call light touch deployment. Can I just ask, how many people use the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit? Familiar with it? Okay, so there's a few people. If you haven't, go have a look at it. Basically, what the MDT allows you to do is go and say, hey, I've got a reference computer configuration. I want to go deploy that same deployment of Windows Server in the same way across computers which have the same hardware. So if you have standardized hardware configurations, MDT is a really cool way to go do that. It removes a lot of the hassle and improves the repeatability of your deploy process. I'm not going to spend much time here. I want you to go have a look at that. Basically, the updates here are to MDT are about, you know, updating it to work with Server 2012, updating it to work better with System Center 2012, SP, whatever it is that you need to be able to do there. And you know, it's available now. It's up on the web. Go have a look at that. There's a couple of sort of enhancements in there, but I'm not going to talk through those. But if you haven't used MDT, go have a look at those. Where I want to spend most of the time is talking about Windows Deployment Services. How many people use WDS? Okay, so we're about half. WDS is an inbox solution for deploying images out to multiple things. How many people feel that they've installed a system using WDS? How many people have Pixie booted an installation? Yeah, okay. So you're using probably WDS there. WDS is a really reliable technology. It's been around a fair while, at least since 2006. And we use it really heavily inside of Microsoft. And we have quite a number of customers who use it really heavily as well. So when you look inside of Microsoft, when we look at how we provision our test labs, how we do a lot of our desktop deployments, and even some of our server labs, we're using WDS behind that to go do that and make that a repeatable process. We do that at a pretty decent scale as well. WDS is pretty scalable. There's a white paper up on TechNet, if you want to go find it. I think there's a reference here. If not, I can forward you a link to that, which talks about how you can go configure WDS to deploy 300-plus machines. I'm told that we have a couple of customers who actually deploy up to about 1,000 machines using WDS through a single WDS instance. So it actually scales pretty well. And some of the improvements we've made in WDS in Windows Server 2012 actually improve our ability to scale there a little bit. And it's very powerful, very flexible. There's a lot of configuration sort of stuff you can do where you can make custom choices around how you choose what you're going to deploy out to an individual server. Okay, so let's look at some of the changes. And my intent here is really to, for those who use WDS today, to give you sort of a, oh, I need to go have a look at that sort of thing. That's something which I'm interested in. Let me go figure that out a little bit more, rather than sort of take you in detail through all of these things. So it's sort of an overview of the changes. And that's what you'll see in this yellow box as I go through here. So the WDS deployment process, I've split up this way. First of all, there is this idea of planning, managing, diagnosing. This is setting up your WDS environment, installing WDS on a server, and then configuring it and then using it day-to-day to go deploy stuff. And there's a set of improvements there. I'm going to go through these slide by slide in a sec. But you know, some of those are actually really important in terms of the way WDS works in your environment. Then the second stage here is I'm going to go boot a new machine. I'm going to boot it with Pixie Boot. There's some improvements here which I'm going to talk about. Then we get into the pre-install environment. Again, we've got some performance improvements here which I'm going to take you through to then go and install the full OS image. Again, a couple of improvements, and we'll talk a little bit about those. Then it goes and injects drivers and takes you into a first boot experience where you use the out-of-the-box environment to go and finish the deployment process. So let's look at some of these changes. First of all, standalone mode. So WDS today in Windows Server 2008 R2 requires AD. We've removed that limitation. So we had a number of customers who sort of said to us, hey, we want to use WDS in an environment where we don't have AD in this part of our environment, or we don't have AD at all in our environment. So we removed the need to have an AD server there, to have your machines domain join, blah, 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 and using the AD store. You can now configure WDS separate to AD as a standalone server, use a local data store, and when you do that, all of the other stuff you use with WDS just works the same way. Okay, so it's sort of, once you configure it that way, it's transparent to you, so everything else works exactly the same way in a standalone mode. Okay, makes sense? So that's sort of exciting for a number of customers. Second thing, we've done a bunch of investment around MMC and the MMC management tools. The device management is now being added into the MMC. It used to be separate. We've also added the ability to file generate unattend files right in the MMC, so you can actually go and do that from the management tools in 2012. The new server property options here. Now, these are, if you're sort of advanced WDS, you probably would know that these are properties which you can configure today. They're hidden away in the registry. So what we've done is we've surfaced those. They're right inside of the MMC under the Properties tab. You can go find those, and you can change the max TFTP block size, the EDP port policy. All of that is stuff which you can do right now from the MMC. Next one's really exciting for me. Whenever I go and boot off the network, and I'm choosing what image I want to deploy inside of Microsoft, we usually end up with a long list of different options. And they're sort of sorted in a random way. And I never really sort of know which one is the one which I really want, unless I actually sort of do some parsing there. What we've done in 2012 is we've allowed you to set image priority. So basically, the image priority which you set will determine the sort order, which you see when you go Pixie boot your machine. Okay, so you can do that right in the MMC. Then the last one, we've added what's called an expected deployment results wizard. It's a sort of a long name, but if you're familiar with PowerShell, and if you're familiar with the PowerShell what if clause, that's what this is. Okay, so basically it says, hey, I want to go make these choices. This is what I think I want to go and do and deploy, but I'm going to do a show me what it's actually going to do before I actually go do it. Okay, so we've added that into the MMC. And in fact, you can do that from the command line as well. Okay, let me just check my modes and make sure I haven't missed anything, blah, blah, blah. All good. Okay, the extension model for WDS. So this is something in the documentation which I think is referred to usually as WICD, custom deployment options. This is really where you can get to go and add additional metadata onto your configurations and sort of say, hey, I wanted to go deploy this depending on what sort of device it is, what sort of hardware configuration I have, processor type, all of that sort of stuff. There's a bunch of additional sort of extensibility which you can add there to actually add some really richness into the way your deployment stuff works. So as you define your deployment options, you can actually put rich rules in which are using this metadata to make intelligent choices as to what's going to be deployed. So that's been expanded inside of 2012. And it actually opens up a set of really interesting choices. So if you're interested in doing that, or if you're doing that today and want to understand what more you can do there, I encourage you to go have a look at that documentation and see what we've done there. Okay, diagnosing your deployments. Bunch of work here. We've added some ETW-based logs, support for a slash trace parameter. The existing log files are still there, so the setup error logs and the setup action logs are still available. You can still use those, but we've added additional logging capabilities so you can really try and diagnose what's happening inside of WDS. If you are used to having a look in those logs and trying to understand what the server is doing from a performance perspective, there used to be, I think, in 2008 R2, I think there's about 17 or 18 different performance counters which you can get access to in those logs. We now have over 50 of those. So there's a lot more granularity of what you can go do if you're trying to figure out how to improve or fine-tune your deployment. Okay. Okay. We've added support for UEFI support, Pixie extended to for x86 systems, architectures to go use UEFI. The BIOS and the UEFI settings are separate, where they used to be together. And the other thing which we've done is we've added IPv6 support. This is actually all the way through WDS. There's some sort of prereq requirements which you need to have to be able to use IPv6. UEFI requires a particular version. You require a stateful DHCP v6 server. But you put all of that in place and you can use IPv6 across. You can use WDS with IPv6 environments. Okay. TFTP download enhancements. So if you look at what 2008 R2 does today, what you'll see is that we use a four-block window. Let me get this right. A four-block TFTP window. What that, what we've seen with a number of different network adapters is that causes some problems in terms of the way that it performs. What basically happens is it loses one of those blocks and needs to retry, and it causes some performance issues. The dynamically determined variable size transmission window really starts to fix that. And on gigabit networks, we've actually seen some pretty dramatic performance improvements, 3x sort of performance from 8 to about 25 megabits bytes per second. It's also really important, this feature, when you're looking at clients which have very small buffers on their NICs. So there's a set of enhancements there which are around making this more robust, making more performance. Shared UDP port allocation. I think I mentioned before that we have a number of customers who sort of use WDS and scale it up to about 1,000 clients at a time. Today, in 2008 R2, each of those clients is using 16 ports, UDP ports. So by the time you get up to 1,000, you're pretty much exhausting the dynamically allocatable UDP range of ports. So what we've done is we've changed that to a shared model. So now we're using 16 ports, which are shared across all of those clients, which starts to take away some of those limitations on scale, which I think is really important. The third one here is around the client buffer. We've done some smart performance enhancements here around sort of detecting if we've got multiple clients who are downloading the same files and then using a in-memory shared buffer to be able to do that to reduce the memory footprint. And that, in turn, of course, improves performance. So a bunch of performance improvements happening here. In-place WIN multicast apply. Okay, so 2008 R2. When you install, what happens today is the WIM gets downloaded, fully downloaded, and then stored on your disk, and then we'll start the setup application. What this change does is it basically allows that to decompress and take that on the fly. So as soon as we've loaded down enough of the WIM to be able to start the setup process, we decompress that in memory, and we start the setup process. So this actually results in a dramatically improved performance, setup time, reduces the time for setup. Requires a lot smaller disk footprint because you're not saving the whole WIM to disk. It does mean that you need 2 gig of RAM to be able to go do that, but when I look at that, I say, 2 gig of RAM, I'm not sure I can buy a server that doesn't have 2 gig of RAM free. So this is a pretty important improvement in terms of the way this works and really speeds things up. Okay, multicast performance improved. In 2008 R2, the block size which is used is actually, let me get this right, is bigger than an Ethernet packet, which means we always have fragmentation. And that was causing some problems in a number of different environments. So what we've done is we've reduced the size of the block by default to be the same as an Ethernet side, remove that fragmentation issue, and that actually improves the performance for us. So there's some changes like that which are all happening under the thing. The other change which I threw on the slide here is the congestion control algorithms inside of WDS have been worked on to really try and improve those, particularly where they're working in multi-core system configurations. And again, this is all about performance improvements, trying to make this better, faster, so you can deploy things more freely and more agilely. Okay, this is the last one, and then we're going to look at server core. This is around VHDX. Does everyone understand VHDX, the new VHD format, which is, wow. Okay, I was hoping you would because I'm not sure that I can explain it properly. It's a new format which you can see when you go use Hyper-V. You'll see that instead of using VHD, you can now use this new format, which is an extended VHD format. From our perspective, what it means is you can deploy these VHDX, instead of pulling down the WIM, you can pull down the VHDX file instead. The difference there is that the WIM will be a file-based copy, where this will be a sector-based deployment, which is faster. It also enables a couple of things, like where you're deploying across multiple partition deployments, makes that easier, so there's some improvements there. You have to use the VHDX format. It won't actually work with the VHD format. And WDS itself isn't where you're going to go create that VHDX. You'll probably want to go do that in, you know, Hyper-V or one of those other tools. But once you have that, then you can do that either through the UI, configure that, or you can also do it through all of the command line utilities as well. So VHDX support is there. And it's actually faster again on top of the WIM format. So a whole bunch of stuff in WDS. And if you're using WDS, go have a look at those, figure out how you can take advantage of those in your environments, upgrade to WDS 2012. If you're not using WDS, I hope that there's been enough here to sort of say, oh, okay, there's some stuff there that maybe I can go leverage. WDS is in box. You've already got it for free, so you might as well go have a look at it and see if you can go use that in your environment. Okay, I'm going to shift gear here. We're going to talk about Windows Server deployment options. Okay. About 12 months ago, you might have seen that before we did release or announced Windows 8, that there was a conference which we ran in the States called the Build Conference. Just before that conference, because that conference was going to be where we announced Windows 8 and also Windows Server 2012, but that conference was very targeted at app developers for Windows 8. We spent some time with some invited press around and actually briefing them on some of the feature sets which we had, which we have in Windows Server 2012. We spent 3 days with these guys. There was about, I don't know, 24 press invited from around the world. We sat down, we walked them through all of the features. It really was for them sort of like drinking from the fire hose because they hadn't seen any of these and they had to consume all of the new features in Windows Server 2012 in 3 days, and they sort of left sort of gasping for air. But one of the things that happened in there when Jeffrey Snover, who, if you're a PowerShell person, you probably know who Jeffrey Snover is. He's the architect now for Windows Server. Jeffrey Snover was talking about Windows Server Core. And at the end of the session, one of the press guys sort of said, you know, hang on, I think I misheard you. I think what I heard you say, which can't possibly be true, is that Microsoft is recommending Server Core as the preferred deployment option. And Jeffrey, I remember very clearly, Jeffrey said, no, that's exactly what I said. Because that is when we look at where we want to take Server, we really do want to take it to a point where Server is there for running the workloads which you're running on top of it. Okay. Now, there's a couple of instances where those workflows require a bunch of UI stack. For example, if you're running remote desktop from your server, VDI scenarios and stuff like that. But really, we want to move Server so that Server as an OS is a platform for the stuff which you layer on top of it. And Server Core is where we're heading towards to be able to do that, because it takes a whole bunch of stuff which you don't really need in the platform to be able to run the workloads you run on top of Server, and takes that out of the picture. So absolutely, Server Core is where we're going. And in fact, in Windows Server 2012, it is the default deployment option. So when you go and install Windows Server, the default option is going to be Server Core. Now, what have we done to make that a reality? Well, a couple of things. Remote Server Administration Tools, the RSAP pack, has all of the remote management GUI tools. Okay, that's available now as part of the Windows Server 2012 release. And in fact, for the very first time, we've sync released RSAP with the beta release and all of the previews, which has been really fantastic. We spent a whole bunch of time investing in remote PowerShell critical mass to make sure that we had the commandlets in place. And if you're a PowerShell person, or even if you're not a PowerShell person, understanding that the investment around PowerShell commandlets to allow you to manage a Server Core environment without having to have all of the UI tools on Server is a really big investment from Microsoft's perspective. If you're interested in PowerShell, there's a PowerShell Advanced PowerShell session tomorrow around sometime in the morning, which I'm co-presenting, which will talk a lot about the features we've put in there which actually make this a reality, this vision reality. And in fact, of the roles and features which run on Windows Server with ship in box, a lot more of those actually support Windows Server Core at the moment than did in 2008 R2. So Server Core, really important. Server with a GUI, GUI, which is effectively what Full Server was. It's still there. We still support that. It's the equivalent of Full Server, as you've seen before. It's there for backward compatibility. It's there because we know some people do need to be able to install servers as standalone servers and want to manage them as a you know, box under the desk. There's a bunch of reasons for wanting to have that there. So that's still there. And it's an important part of our release, and we spent a lot of time making sure that works well. If you look at those two things conceptually, Full Server is really a bunch of stuff which is laid on top of Server Core. And this is actually a little bit different than in 2008 R2, because on 2008 R2, both Server Core and Full Server were built on something called Windows Foundation, which was the common layer underneath them. But in 2012, Server with a GUI is actually an incremental layer on top of Server Core, and we're going to see what that looks like and why that's important. Same as in 2008 R2, there's an additional level of stuff you can install on top of this. You can install the Desktop Experience Pack, which would then give you a bunch of other stuff around modern themes for the UI stack and stuff like that. Okay. Server Core. Now, this is what's new, which I'm really excited about. So if you're using Server Core today, you will know that when you installed Server Core 2008 R2, you made that choice and then you're stuck with it, right? Okay. If you install Full Server, you make that choice, you're stuck with it. You don't get to move between the two. We've changed that. Okay, so what I'm going to show you when we get to the demos is how you can move very seamlessly between Server Core and Full Server, and then back again. So what you can do is you can say, okay, I want to get this environment all set up. I'm going to use Full Server. All my tools are there. I'm not quite into this remote management thing. Ian hasn't convinced me that that's the way to go. I will. But then once I've got that going, I also say, now I want to get all of the advantages of Server Core. I want to take off some of that UI stack, which is, is a attack surface area. It's a patch surface area, and it causes a bunch of reboots in my maintenance windows. As I patch that, I want to be able to take that off, bring it down to now what's going to be a nice stable Server Core environment and run with that. So you can now do that. I'm going to show you how to do that. Before, I want to talk about another configuration level which we have. This is sort of somewhere in between. We're calling it Minimal Server Interface. I'm going to come back and spend some more time talking about it, exactly what it is. But think about it as sort of an intermediate stage inside of between Server Core and Server with a GUI. Okay? And we'll come back and talk more about that, and I'll show you how you can use that. Okay, transitioning between Server Core and Server. Like I said, Server with a GUI is basically just a set of features installed on top of Server Core. Okay. In fact, there's two features which are there. You'll see them here under, if you look in here, I've got the remove role and feature wizard from Server Manager. And we've looked down there in the feature list. And under user interfaces and infrastructure, you'll see there's three choices here. Graphical management tools and infrastructure, server graphical shell. Okay, and those two together will give you full server or server with a GUI. Got to get the name right. There's also, from here, you could go and install the desktop experience, which is the additional stuff. That gives you the themes and some of the modern style applications and stuff like that on top. So these are the two features which we're going to spend a bunch of time talking about. Server graphical shell is really the level which takes you up to full server with the GUI. Okay. Equivalent from PowerShell. Server Manager in 2012 is built on top of PowerShell. It's a new UI. If you haven't seen it, go have a look at it. There's a session tonight, in fact, which is a deep dive on Server Manager, which will cover some of the stuff which you're going to see here in more depth. But it's built on top of PowerShell. There's actually a whole bunch of new PowerShell commandlets to do with the deployment, to deal with adding and removing Windows features. But to remove from full server to server core, all you really have to do is go and uninstall a set of Windows features and then run a restart. It doesn't need a restart when you go do that. Similarly, to go from server core to full server, you need to install those two features back in. It's as simple as that. Okay, install a couple of features, restart the server, and you're there. You'll notice, if you're familiar with the old deploy commandlets, that we've added the ability to list multiple features. It's a nice little thing. In fact, there's more you can do there, which is sort of cool, which we'll talk about. Okay, so moving between Server Core and Server with a GUI, it's simple. It's just a couple of features. Okay, so let's go have a look at what that means. Let's switch to a demo environment. How are we going for time? Okay. Okay. Where am I going to start? I'm going to start with a client box. So this is a client desktop, and I've installed RSAT on top of this. So I'm going to start with the remote scenario because that's the one that goes with Server Core. I'm going to bring up Server Manager. And for all the demos you're going to see today, we're going to be working with sort of four machines. We're going to start right now with Test Server 1, Test Server 2. But what I want to show you in Server Manager here is let's select all four of those machines. And let's go down to the bottom of here where you can see all of the roles and features which are installed across all of those machines. You'll see there at the beginning that there's, you know, they're the features on Test Server 1, here's the stuff on Test Server 2. And then using sort of this fast filter here, let's just look for all of the ones which contain graphic. And here you'll be able to see sort of what state those four machines are already in. So you'll see on Test Server 2 that we have these two features already installed, user interfaces, infrastructure group, graphical shell, the names are long, server graphical shell and graphical management tools and infrastructure are both installed in Server 2. On Test Server 1, they weren't installed, so it's actually running core already. On my core server, they're also not installed, obviously. And on the WDS server, we've just got one of those two features, which is the minimal server interface, which I'll come back to. Okay, so Test Server 2 is our full server. So let's have a look at what it would take if we wanted to... Actually, before we do that, let's go have a look at the equivalent in PowerShell remote. So let's fire up PowerShell IC. Let's zoom this a little bit so you can see. Tell me if it's not big enough. So here what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the PowerShell command. Where is it? Get Windows feature. I'm going to point it at a computer name, which is my test server 2. And I'm going to get the features which are on that machine. So it's going to go off, collect that data. And here you've got a list of all of the things. In fact, let's do that again. Let's just point it off to our grid view, which is a nice little UI, which will put it in a nice list so we can have a look at it. Okay. So these are the features which are installed on that machine. And if we scroll down here, you'll see when we get down to, in this feature list, there is, where is it? I know it's here somewhere. There's a lot of stuff on Windows Server. There we go. User interfaces and infrastructure. So this is the set, and you'll see that I've got those two features installed on that machine, which is why it's running as server with a GUI. So what we're going to do is, okay, what does it take to remove those features? So let's go back to Server Manager. Let's go up to the top here. Let's collect Test Server 2. Let's go up into the Manage window. Let's say remove roles and features. So here we're going to go through. We're going to select Test Server 2 because that's the one which we want to uninstall from. We're going to leave all the roles on. We don't want to do anything with roles. So we're going to go to the Feature Wizard. And you'll see in Server Manager we now have added both the roles and the feature wizards into one wizard, just combine them into a single wizard, where previously they used to be separate wizards in 2008.2. And if we go down here, we'll see in the user interfaces and infrastructure, we'll see these two sets here. So let's remove those. Remove those features. You'll see that I removed one, and because it was dependent upon the other one, it's removed both of them. Or the other one was dependent upon it, so it removed both of them. So now if I go do that deploy, it's going to remove those two features, and effectively we're going to convert this full server down to Server Core. Okay, so let's kick that off. Let's tell it to restart when we get there. And that's going to go kick off in the background. So again, reminding that I'm doing this remote, I'm doing this from my client desktop using RSAT tools, and I've gone and converted my Test Server 2 from full server down to Server Core. So let's leave that running. Let's go have a look at another server. So in fact, I'm going to close that because I can track the progress of that up in this notification bar. So let's have a look at Test Server 1. What I'm going to do is I'm going to switch over to this core system. So let's find my Test Server 1. And you'll see that this is a core server. Okay, so we have here our nice little command prompt. I've already started PowerShell, which is supported and it's installed by default on core. And can you see that text okay? Or does it need to be bigger? It's okay? Okay. So let's do here. let's do effectively the same things. Here I'm doing it locally now, but I could have done it remote from the other machine. Let's do a get Windows feature. Let's just get them all. I can't do the outgrid thing because there's no UI on this machine, of course. So here you'll see that this machine, under user interfaces and infrastructure, it doesn't have either of those two things. So this is a server core machine. Let's just have a look to make sure it really is core. You'll see that there's no desktop. There's no bar down the bottom here. If I go and try and fire something up like MMC, it's not going to be there. Explorer is not going to be there. Or is it Explorer? I never know. If I try and start Server Manager, it's not going to be there. This is a core machine, okay? This is the core which you're familiar with. I can go start PowerShell Windows, so yeah. This is all I had done before to go fire up PowerShell, and PowerShell's there for you, okay? Let's get rid of that. Okay, what do I want to do here? Oh, let's have a look at DISM. So let's go fire up. How many people use DISM Direct? Yeah, a couple of people use. Okay, interesting. I just want to show you one quick thing here. So let's do a DISM command. I'm not sure I can do this from here. I think I can. My typing is not real good. I apologize for that. Get features, format, table. So we'll kick this off. The thing I wanted to point out here is if you're familiar with DISM, you would have seen before, right at the top of this, output. You see that now is that we are built on top of the server core package, where before this would have been the Windows Foundation package. Okay, so that's the core underlying package. Server core is the core underlying package for all of the deployment configurations and sort of thing. And you'll see here which features are installed and so forth not. Okay, so let's keep going. So let's start a conversion of this up to full. So let's go into PowerShell. Let's on here, let's do a install Windows features. Let me get the names right. Where did I put the names? Okay. Server GUI management infrastructure and Server GUI shell are the two things which we want to install. And then hopefully by the time we get back to the other machine, it would have finished its installation. Server GUI management infra, comma, Server GUI shell. Have I got that right? Let's force it to restart at the end. And that's all it takes to take a core server up to full server, or server with a GUI. So we're going to leave that running in the background. We'll come back and check on that a little bit later on. But let's for now, let's go back to my server, what did I start with, 2, which has rebooted. Let's just do a quick log on. So this is a server which was full server, which I then went through Server Manager, removed the thing, and you'll see that this is now a server core machine. No MMC, no Server Manager, blah, 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 blah. Okay? So that's as simple as it is. It's really, really simple to move between those two things. And you can move from your full server and get all of the advantages of server core, which is the lower disk footprint and blah, blah, blah. So it really is cool, and you no longer have to make that choice up front. Okay? So it gives you a lot more flexibility in the way you think about your deployments. Okay. So we're going to leave those running. I'm going to switch back to my slide deck. So let's talk a little bit more about this minimal server interface. Think about it as server with a GUI, but not with all of the GUI. When we look at the stats around patches, particularly patches that require reboot, there's actually, if you take off Windows Explorer and Internet Explorer out of your server, it actually reduces your patch load pretty significantly. Not completely, but it's significant enough to make that an attractive proposition. So server with a GUI is basically that. Minimal server is basically that. It's server with a GUI, but without Windows Explorer and Internet Explorer, which reduces the size. It doesn't reduce it as far down as Server Core does. I think it takes off a couple hundred megabytes worth of stuff, where going all the way down to Server Core is more in the gigabytes of savings. But it provides some of those benefits, and it's particularly there for people who don't feel that they can move all the way to Server Core straight away. Okay, so it's sort of a hedge in the middle. Particularly important is it does sort of help people understand if they've got applications or technologies which may not run on Server Core. It can start to help you sort of move those to something which is not completely Server Core, but hopefully some of those things will run on here. And from an administration perspective, it means, well, I can start making the shift towards Server Core, but I don't have to give up the sort of the security or the knowledge that I can still log on to the server if I need to and get access to some of those tools. So there's a bunch of stuff that will run on minimal server interface, which doesn't run on Windows Server Core, which is really important for the IT pro. Okay. So converting to and from server graphical shell, if you're starting to get the idea from the other thing, this becomes pretty easy. From server manager, we've already seen, instead of both of those features, we just need one of them. Let's look at it from the PowerShell perspective. To uninstall server graphical shell, which would take you from server with a GUI all the way down to management or minimal server infrastructure, you just uninstall that one feature. Again, a restart. To reinstall that, you'll use the install feature. Okay, this is pretty straightforward. If you're moving from server core to minimal server interface, what you'll want to do is install the server GUI management infra feature on, which brings it up from neither of those two features to the one which is has all the minimal server interface stuff in it. So pretty straightforward. But there are some limitations. Common dialog boxes on minimal server are functional except in a couple of cases, and one of those cases is networking. It's worthwhile knowing about that so that it doesn't surprise you. Any UI which has dependencies on items that implement shell namespace extensions will not work because the shell is not there. A lot of the CPLs, control panel applications, will work, but some of them don't because they have this dependency. They depend on the namespace extensions, in particular, again, networking. Now, you might be saying, okay, well, if I don't have networking, why do I want to go do this? The good news is that the networking team spent a bunch of time investing in some pretty good, thorough PowerShell coverage. So a lot of what you can't do now because you don't have those particular tools on the box are fully supported through PowerShell, through a set of PowerShell commandlets, which make it really easy to do a lot of what you want to do from the networking perspective. Internet Explorer is not available when you uninstall the shell. It means that the links in the UI won't work, that go out to IE. What we've done in all of those tools is what we haven't done is we haven't gone and turned off those links, so they still will appear in the UI and will appear like you can go click them, but when you go click them, nothing's going to happen. That's just because IE isn't installed in the box. Also, help isn't available. So we moved a little while ago to HTML-based help formats, which means that anywhere we've got calls into HTML help APIs, they're all going to return null to us, so all the help is off the box. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. I know that a lot of people, in an effort to minimize their server deployments, are already trying to remove things off like help to minimize that footprint. There's a few other things. Some of these should be pretty obvious to most people. Any file association protocol handlers for HTTP or file aren't going to work because you've lost those things. From a developer perspective, you need to realize that there's a bunch of DLLs which aren't there on minimal server interface, those related to Explorer and the shell and to IE loads. So as a developer, if you want to understand whether your applications will run on minimal server, what you want to go do is go check for those dependencies and see if they're there. And there's a bunch of tools which can help you go do that. Dump in from the Windows SDK. There's a bunch of freeware dependency walkers. And really the ask, if there's developers in the room, is to go start doing that. Try and understand what the dependencies are in your technology and figure out whether you can support them running on minimal server interface. Okay. Still for the developers, if you're trying to develop something which is going to detect whether the state of the server which you're running on, or if you're an IT pro and you're writing scripts and you want to be able to tell what SKU or what configuration you're running on, there's a bunch of stuff in the registry Basically, if you look under this registry path, these are the three keys which you can go find, and they'll either be there or not there depending on what configuration level which you're running. So server core will always be set, but then the server GUI management key will only be set if you're not server core, and the minimal server interface isn't set if you're running full server. Okay. Also, if you're used to doing that through WMI, all of that's still there. There's some magic numbers down the bottom. Because these are just features, you can go through WMI, get the features. The features you'd be looking for are 99 and 478 if you want to remember those numbers, but they're pretty easy to figure out. Okay. This is the final summary slide, then we're going to jump back onto the demo machine. So if you're looking across what those four things look like, I've added in here the desktop experience when you add that pack. This is sort of the breakdown of what's available when. A couple of things to point out. We talked a little bit about the CPL applets, where some of those are going to work on minimal server interface, but not all of them. Okay. And then you'll also notice that the modern start screen is available on server with a GUI, but it's not available on minimal server interface. Okay. So that's the whole new start screen on Windows 8. Okay. And of course, if you install Desktop Experience, you get all of the really nice theming, you get modern style applications, you get Media Player as well. Okay. So let's have a look at minimal server interface. Time check again. I think we're tracking okay. I need to do this. It seems like I shut down my connection to... Not sure what happened there. Okay. Let's go first to our test server 1, which is the thing we left running in the background. Remember, this was the server core machine, which we set to take up to full server. And voila. So this is the box which we converted up to core. You'll see that that's now full server. If we go in and have a look at the features which are installed on here, we give it a second. Server manager just doing its initial what's on this system check. Here we go. Oh. Come on. Okay. There we go. If we go down to here, the Windows features, again, we'll search for just those graphical features. And you'll see that those two features are there. They're the two features which we added. So, all done. Okay. Actually, I know that you couldn't see how fast that was, but when I was timing this in my room last night, both of those transitions which we did take from start to stop on this particular machine, which is a client machine running a bunch of VMs, 2.5 to 3 minutes is to do that transition. Okay, so let's have a look at minimal server interface. I'm going to jump over here to my WDS machine. And when you look at this, first of all, you might say, okay, WDS, this looks like a server core machine, right? And it does. Okay, when you initially come in, you're going to see a command prompt. You'll see PowerShell is there. But let's have a look at the features which are installed. I wish I could type better. And let's look at the user interfaces and infrastructure. So right here, you'll see that I've got installed graphical management tools and infrastructure, which is the feature which takes you from server core up to minimal server interface. So what do we have here then? We obviously don't have the taskbar down here, but what other things can I do? Well, for starters, we have all of the MMC tools on here, which you don't have on server core. So I can go in here. Let's add computer management. So we have our event viewer, and all of this stuff will work as it does on full server. Okay. So a lot of these, all of these tools are still there. So the beauty of minimal server interface, it's really designed for the IT pro. It's really sort of, hey, we're just going to give you what the IT pro needs to be able to manage this server, not the other stuff. That's really the intent here. Let's see. Let's go down here. Let's have a look at Server Manager. So Server Manager will run here as well. Okay. What else have we got? PowerShell. Let's have a look at the registry. And you'll see here, I've already fired this up. So here we've gone into HQ local machine, software, Microsoft Windows NT, current version server, server levels. And you'll see here that we've got the server GUI management tag, the server core tag. There's actually another one here, which is the server core extended, which I'm not going to talk about. But what we don't have here is the tag that says that you've got the full server component on, or the server with the GUI component on. If we're on a server with a GUI machine, then you will see another key here to tell you that that's there. Okay, so this tells us that this is minimal server. Oops. Okay, so what do we want to do here? Check removal. So I'm just trying to figure out PowerShell, we've explained. Graphical features, show regedit. Let's convert this then. Let's remove this and take it down to core.
Sorry?
Yeah. What would you like to try? Sure. How do I do that? Sorry? Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out which is the right thing here. What control panel would you like to see? Sorry, I actually don't know what I've been trying to think of what I can show you here. No, the networking one doesn't work. I already told you that. Nice try. There's someone who doesn't get a shirt. Sorry? Oh, why am I in an Explorer? I wanted to show you that it's actually not installed. The folder structure is still there, but the features themselves aren't there, is the way it works. Okay, and it's actually because I've down installed this from full server. Yeah, down. Okay. Yes. Hold that question because that's where we're going next. Okay. Good question. Okay. What I was going to show you here. Let's come back and I'll see if I can find a control panel app that we can launch in a sec. At the end if I don't have time, because I'm just conscious of the time. I was going to show you how to take this up to full server or down to server core. Does anyone think that they don't know how to do that based on what we've already done? Anyone like to see that? No? Okay. It's pretty straightforward. Okay. At the bottom line is, they're just features. Install the features you want, and those features come with a set of capabilities. And for minimal server interface, the set of capabilities you get are a bunch of things like MMC and Server Manager and that server, and some of those basic tools which you need to manage as an IT pro. Okay, I'm going to jump. Just check. Okay. I'm going to jump back to the slides. I want to talk about reducing disk footprint, which I think is going to answer your question. There's a set of new features here which I want to talk about called features on demand. If you're familiar with 2008 R2 or 2008, when you install Windows Server, all of the binaries for all of the roles which you install get put down on disk in something called the Windows Side-by-Side Store. Okay? The path is /windows/winxxx. And that gets done during setup. And basically, that's disk space is used even if you're never going to use those roles or those features on that server. So there's a bunch of space which is being taken up, which yeah, you probably aren't going to use for a lot of those features if you're not using them on that particular server. So what we've done in Windows Server 2012 is we've added this feature called Features on Demand. What it basically allows you to do is say, I don't want this stuff on my disk anymore. I want to take it off and I want to offload it and get rid of it out of the side-by-side store. And the reason you want to do that, of course, is you want to reduce your disk footprint for your server installation. So what we're going to do is we're going to remove those from the side-by-side store. Particularly interesting when you're thinking about your virtualized environments, you want to reduce the size of your VHDs, which then mean that you can then copy them across the system when you're trying to deploy them in an agile way across multiple systems. It reduces the size of the VHD. You've got to copy all of that sort of stuff. If you want to have a look at this in detail, there's a TechNet article, but I'm going to take you through and show you some of this right now. Okay, so talk a little bit about Server Core, first of all. So remember when you install Windows, you've got those two options. You can install Server Core, or you can install Server with a GUI, full server. The Server Core option is actually created using Features on Demand. So we're using that internally ourselves to actually create the Server Core image which you have. And when you install Server Core initially, we actually take off from the side-by-side store a lot of the stuff which you don't need on Server Core. So it's actually removed for you. So the Server Core footprint image is actually already reduced. That's different than if you go in and install Server with a GUI and then down-level it down to Server Core, where we'll take off those features, but we don't actually remove them at that point from the side-by-side store, though we can, and I will show you that. So if you have a look at a Server Core installation, what you're going to see as you, if you look in PowerShell, you're going to see a bunch of these features which are marked as not just available for installation, but actually removed from the system, which means that they're not on the system. You can't go and install those because you don't have those binaries on that server system. If you do the same thing in DISM, what you'll see for those features is disabled with payload removed. Okay, so this is the core capability which we're going to talk about. How do we get stuff out of the side-by-side store to reduce our footprint? And then what do we want to do if we then change our mind and say, actually, I do need this on this server. How do I go and install that role and feature? So that's what we're going to spend some time looking at. Removing roles and features. It's pretty simple. Using the same command which we used before where we were uninstalling Windows feature, at the PowerShell level there is a parameter which is dash remove. And if you add that parameter when you uninstall a feature, it's basically going to remove the binaries for that feature or that role from the side-by-side store. Now, we don't have the equivalent in Server Manager, so this is one of those things. If you want to go do this, you're going to have to get your hands dirty and get into PowerShell and do it from the PowerShell command line. Okay. So what happens, though, if you've removed these and then you want to reinstall? Okay, so there's a number of options here. We'll talk through some of them. I'll show you what some of them look like in some slides, and then I'll actually do the last of these as part of a demo. First of all, if your server is connected, okay, to the internet, you can use WU, Windows Update, to go get those sources. Okay, but that's probably, for a lot of your servers, not going to be the case. You can use the install media directly, or you can actually mount that install WU and use a mounted version of that. And I'm going to show you some slides that show you sort of what the steps are to do both of those. Or you can just point at any other running server of the same version, a full server, Windows with a GUI server, and point at its side-by-side folder and pull the binaries from there where you've got a server which hasn't had them removed. So you can actually do that. I'll show you that one in the demo. If you're doing this a lot, if this is fundamentally a part of the way you deploy server in your environment, and you want to have just one place where you always go get those images, so by default you're always deploying Server Core, you can actually set that location via group policy. Otherwise, you need to specify it each time you want to go install a feature where the media's been removed. Okay, so let's look at what it takes to mount the WIM. That TechNet article which was pointed to, we'll go and go through all of this again. You'll get the slides afterwards. You can have a look at them. But let me explain what's happening. All we're doing here is I'm creating a mount directory where I'm going to mount the WIM. I'm going to go off to DISM using this wonderful DISM command. And what this is going to do is go have a look at all of the configurations which are available on the install media. We added this to the slide deck because we've been using this slide deck as we've gone through beta and through the release candidate. And now that we're at RTM, what we're really trying to do is get the index of the install version. So we need to be able to point Windows at a version of the install media which represents Windows with GUI, because that's the installation option that has all of the stuff in the side-by-side store. So it's really important that we point at that. So what you'll get here is a list of what's on the WIM and a bunch of index numbers. I can tell you now that now that we've shipped, that index number isn't going to change. It's 4. Okay, so 4 is the index number for server with a GUI. So you can almost bypass this step now. Okay, then we're going to mount the Wim using a dism command, dism mount Wim, Wim file, the drive where you've mounted the media. You'll see the slash index there. Here we're going to put a number 4 in after the index. And then we're going to mount that on the mount directory. And we'll do it as read-only because we don't want any write access to that. Doesn't make sense. Okay, once you've done that, this is what the PowerShell looks like. Okay, so we're using our same install Windows feature command. You'll see here that in this example, I'm actually upgrading server core up to server with a GUI. So I'm installing the server GUI management infrastructure feature and the server GUI shell infrastructure. I've got my restart flag there. Dash source is the new parameter here, which we want to use. And what we're doing here is we're pointing off to that C colon mount directory, then the Windows side-by-side store directory. Sort of makes sense? Okay. So when we go run that command, what it's going to do is go say, okay, I need those features. I'm going to go off to this side-by-side store to get them, even though it's not on my server. Same sort of thing if you want to use the Wim directly instead of having to mount it. Again, a line to get the index. And effectively, straight from the PowerShell command, there's a format here, dash source, Wim colon, the drive number, the directory for the install Wim, colon 4, which is the index, and it'll do all of those other steps for you, basically. Okay, so this is a sort of a shorthand version of the way to do it. Okay. What does this look like in Server Manager? So in Server Manager, if you're installing a role and feature, what you will see, so here we're at the confirmation page inside of Server Manager, so we've already gone and selected a feature. So Server Manager has gone and said, hey, I don't have those features in the side-by-side store. It's popped this warning up the top that you need to go specify source path to go tell it where to go get those images. You'll see at the bottom, which highlighted in red there, specify an alternate source path. If you click on that link, you'll get this rich text dialog, which basically equates to the path text field at the bottom, which is where you go put in, you know, one of those strings. Okay, so here, what have we got here? Here we're pointing at the Wim directly. Okay, so the Wim mounted on D drive, I think. Sorry, I can't see it there. Can you see that? Sorry if that's a bit small. Basically, it's Wim colon D colon slash sources slash install Wim colon 4, which is the same string we had before. It's just a recap. That's the PowerShell command. Okay. And then this is just reiterating. If you've installed server core, so all of these features are now to take it up to full server and not in the side-by-side store, so you're going to have to do this. So if your initial installation option is server core, then you're going to have to go find a side-by-side store to go pull those images from. And they're the two commands, if that's a good shortcut for you. Okay, so let's have a look at a demo. Okay, so let's go to one of these full server boxes. Let's try this one. I'm going to go into PowerShell. Let's make this bigger so you can see it. Okay, so I'm going to do a get Windows features. This is really just because I'm looking for something to remove. I think the one I was playing with was an NFS client feature. So let's just make sure it's not there. Okay, so you see the NFS client feature is installed. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove that feature. I'm going to use the remove flag. So this is going to then remove it from the side-by-side store. Okay. I'm going to tell it to do a restart if it needs to. And we'll kick that off. So that's going to go off and do that. While it's doing that, I'm going to switch to server core box. What I want to show you here what I want to show you here is, if you look over on the right-hand column, you'll see that there's a whole bunch of roles features which have been removed from this Server Core installation. Okay, so when I said before you installed Server Core, there's a bunch of stuff which isn't there. So if I was going to upgrade this onto a to full server, I would have to go point off at a full server thing. And those that includes the those two features which are necessary to get us up to the server with the GUI. Okay, so they've been removed. I can do the same thing in DISM, but let's go back and have a look at that other box. So I think it's probably done. Okay. Ah. I'm losing track. This was the box I was on, right? Feature NFS client. Okay, so now we've deinstalled the NFS client. You'll see that it's now removed off the system. So if I want to go and install this now, if I was to go into install Windows feature, NFS client, let's just do a what if. Okay, you'll see it's come back with a warning telling me, hey, the files for some of these features are not available on the target servers. You're going to have to go use the specify a source path to go get those files. Okay, so it's telling us the right things to do. This is the equivalent of the warning which you saw in that slide which had the server manager equivalent of this on. So let's go point this off at a different system. So I have here a DC in my environment, which I have shared, the side-by-side store. So this is now pulling those sources from a live server system.
How will the side-by-side store work with service packs? Let's say you've got a machine running server 2012.
Yep.
And all of the other machines are server 2012, server pack 1.
Yep.
You have an updated side-by-side store. Yeah. Will this be compatible with...
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. And the answer is that this particular option, where you're going against a live server, if the patch version of the server and that you're trying to install, they have to be the same. Okay, otherwise, it's going to understand the difference. So that's why it's so important to have those install off the Windows Media options available, because it gets you around that, because then it'll go and say, hey, you need to go install any patches which you need to do for that feature. Okay, so, yeah, good question. Thank you. Not sure. So you're asking whether... So the question is whether you're going to Windows Update, whether... you have a similar problem. I don't believe so, but I can check that if you like at some point. Okay, so this has gone off. This is going to take a little while to go do. Just to see if there's anything else. Okay, let's just go back to that server core box. I just wanted to show you why that's going. One other thing. Oh, no, I want to go to my... For some reason, I shut that guy down. I just want to show in Server Manager what the equivalent looks like, just in case you missed it. And then, how are we going for time? We've got about 5 minutes. We'll do a quick wrap-up. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to take our server core machine, which we were just talking about. I'm going to say, let's add roles and features. I'm going to go through here, server core. So here I'm going to go down to the features. Let's choose the why can't I see it there? Sorry? Oh, thank you. It's getting late in the day. User interfaces and infrastructure. So here, if I want to go and install this and take it up to full servers, we'll add those features. You'll see when we get to this confirm thing, you'll see we need to add a specify a source path. Same thing which we're getting from the command, which we saw before. Here we'll go in to specify the ultimate source path, and this is where you can go and add that stuff. So here I could do effectively the same thing. I'm not going to do it. It'll take too long. But that's the UI equivalent of what we're just doing. Okay, so I'm just going to get out of that. Let's see if the other one's back. If not, I'll go to the slides. Something failed. Not sure what that is. I'm not going to debug it now. But that is the right way to go do it. Okay. So using the side-by-side store and the share, you need to have the permission set up. They need to be domain joined. Okay. So because of the way the authentication works across those. But yeah, if you're not domain joined, use the other method, which is the WIM method. Okay. So let's leave that. I'm going to jump back to the slides and finish up. And then I'll stick around if you have any questions. Quick point on .NET 3.5. Okay, .NET 3.5 is not included in the Server 2012 image. It's actually removed if you go look at that. It is available on the Windows Install Media, so you can go and install that off the media. There's a white paper on how to go do this. It works for both client and server. So if you have applications which use .NET 3.5, of course in 2012 we install .NET 4.5. Then there's a shim there that'll say, hey, you need to go install 3.5, but this is what you're going to do it if you're running on Server Core. Okay, a quick note on some of the roles and feature deployment. If you go to the Server Manager deep dive, there'll be a slide like this which will talk a little bit about some of the features we've put in Server Manager to support the deployment and roles and features. We've seen some of those in some of those demos. I just wanted to point out a couple of things. So the reduced footprint by removing unwanted source files, that's the stuff we've just been talking about, the features on demand. But a couple of things when you put together with everything that you've seen already today sort of help to paint or round out the story. One of them is being able to deploy to an offline VHD. So in Server Manager, you can now go and say, hey, I want to go install not to this remote machine, but actually to this VHD file, which is offline. What Server Manager will go do is it'll go mount that file, it'll install the features to it and then take it offline. This is really important, really useful when we think of the shift towards virtualized environments where we want to be able to deal with VHDs. We don't actually want to go and fire up a VM and bring that VHD online and actually fire it up and then deploy to a live system. We actually want to do and set the configuration of the roles and features on that VHD without having to go through all of that trouble. You can do that direct. You can do that from Server Manager. You can also do it from the command line options underneath through PowerShell. The other thing which you can see if you go to that session is inside of Server Manager, there's this idea of using configuration deployment templates. So when you go through the add role wizard, you say, I want to add this combination of features and the role services associated with those, and maybe some of the settings which you set as you go through those install pages. Right at the end, before you go hit install, and in fact after you hit install as well, it's available, you can say, hey, I want to save off all of those settings, all those choices I just made, off to a configuration template. Save it as a file on disk. You can then use that file to simplify the way you do deploys from PowerShell. So in PowerShell, there's a command line option that says something like config file, or I can't remember, I think it's config file, where you're installing on a server, you can say, go install this server, use this configuration template, which will define all the roles and features and settings which you want to use, and then use that to deploy. So it simplifies your PowerShell command. But even more importantly, it then makes it really easy to do batch deploy. Okay, so from PowerShell, you can now start scripting how to go deploy something consistently across many, many machines using that configuration template as the template for which you do that deployment. So you take that, you take the ability to reduce the footprint, you take the deploy to offline VHD, you take all of that stuff, put it together with Server Core, and what I'm hoping you can walk out of here with is you know what? I can sort of see, if I'm going to figure out how I'm going to do my deployment of Server 2012, that these are the sorts of things which I want to do, and maybe you can start architecting how you go do that in your environment by understanding all of these different options available to you. So that was really what I was hoping to achieve for you today. In summary, shifting towards Server Core is a recommended configuration. You can easily move between them. There's this new option around minimal server interface, which is sort of this intermediary step. It's really targeted at giving what you need to manage the box as an IT pro without going all the way to Server Core. Features on demand is the big thing, which is about reducing your footprint, particularly in VHDs. It's really important. And then, you know, all the stuff we talked about around the WDS enhancements, if you're using WDS in your deployment topology today, go figure out which of those sort of new features is actually going to benefit you. All the performance ones will automatically. And then there's a bunch of stuff when you tie in what's the set of functionality inside of Server Manager, brings all of that together, and you can hopefully architect how you go deploy Windows Server 2012 in your environment. That's about all I've got. Bunch of related content. There's a drill down session for Server Manager. There's also a PowerShell one, which is tomorrow morning, second session, I believe, which I'm co-presenting. I'm going to be hanging around in the speaker lounge tomorrow around 11 a.m. I'll hang around here for a little bit if you want to come and ask me some questions afterwards. A bunch of stuff to remind you of. Please complete your eval. I'd really like to understand sort of what parts of this session were useful for you, because that helps us design better sessions as we move forward. There's an opportunity to win Sculpt Touch Mouse. Then there's a bunch of stuff here. Live panel, I'm just going to leave that run. Oh, that's cool. Who's put the hat in the... Who's doing that? I want to go do that. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.